of Luke, chapter 2, verses 15 to 21, and you can find that on page 1027 of the Pew Bibles, if you're so minded. Luke, chapter 2. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We remain standing for the creed. And we affirm together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated, and I invite Hamish to come and preach.
Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will speak to us this morning through your Holy Spirit. At the beginning of a new year, we want to lay ourselves before you, and we pray that you will speak to us today and in the coming days. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. I wonder why you were given the Christian name that you've got. Parents often give names just because they like the sound of them, or they're naming them after people within the family, or somebody they admire, or a famous person, a celebrity perhaps. My name was given because my father was called James, and it was a way of Hamish is in fact the same as James, but it was a way of having the same name but avoiding confusion. It was one of the highlights of 2016 has been the birth of a second Hamish within our fellowship. I think this is probably the first time there's ever been two Hamishes living in Milton, as far as I know. David, of course, is a name that's a Hebrew word from the Old Testament, which means beloved. And names, in fact, are very important within the Bible and nearly always have some meaning about the situation of the birth of the person. Samuel, for example, means heard of God, because God answered his mother Hannah's long prayers for a child. So he was called heard of God, an answer to prayer. And Isaac, which means he laughs, is because Abraham laughed when God told him that his wife Sarah, who was very old at the time, was pregnant. Names can often express thanks to God for the birth of a child, or say something wonderful about God or his blessings. I want to look this morning at the two most important names in the Bible. First of all, God's name tells us of his majesty and his eternal presence. God's name tells us of his majesty and eternal presence. God has many names in the Old Testament. But one day, we read that God told Moses of his special name, which meant, I am, basically. No one made me. I am eternal. I always exist, and I always will be. Now, I'm learning Hebrew these days, so I thought I'd show you what that looks like in Hebrew. This was the name that we have recorded in the Bible from Hebrew, which actually, of course, you read in that direction. But no one really knows how to pronounce this name, though nowadays people tend to think that it sounded something like Yahweh. But nobody can be certain, because this Hebrew word here is just consonants, so it's difficult to actually tell without the vowels exactly what it would sound like. Vowels were added later to Hebrew words, and this is how, if you compare that with that, they're the same basic letters, but there's one or two little bits put in. Now, these are put in a way that is to remind Jews when they read Scripture that they're not meant to say the name as it is. These letters are to indicate you're meant to say Adonai, which means Lord. These are the vowels from Adonai, which are put on this word to tell Jews when they're reading the Scripture, don't read that word as it is, read Adonai. These vowels are supposed to help in that way. And Jews today still do that. They either read it as Adonai. In fact, some Jews actually say Hashem, which means the name. That's all they say, the name, rather than say in any way the name of God. The point of all this is not to teach you any Hebrew at all, but to give you the idea that Jews felt God's name should not be uttered at all. It sounds extreme to us in a day when God's name is used as a swear word. But they felt God's name needed to be treated so reverently that they couldn't actually say it at all. I wonder if we praise God's name enough. Do we wonder at his deeds and his words? The psalmist in Psalm 113 says, let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. And in another psalm we read, we praise you, God, we praise you, for your name is near. So God's name tells us of his majesty and eternal presence. Then secondly, Jesus' name speaks of his grace and his saving love. At the heart of the Christmas message, we celebrate Jesus as God coming in grace and love to save us. We are told in Luke and in Matthew that Jesus' name was not chosen by his mother or his father, but was given to him directly by God. And his name, Jesus, means God saves. It's the same name as Joshua in the Old Testament, or Yeshua in Hebrew. He was Moses' right-hand man at the time they moved into the Promised Land. Joshua, in its later Greek form, Jesus, was in fact a relatively common name. But that first Christmas, someone was born and given that name with new and enhanced meaning. For he had come not just to declare or celebrate the fact that God saves, but to be the embodiment of God's saving power. Jesus more than lived up to his name. He literally embodied it. He was and is the God who saves. Jesus came to earth to save us because we could not ourselves escape from sin and its consequences. Jesus came to rescue us from the power and penalty of sin. And Jesus still saves today. His name is still relevant in 2017. So names are very important in the Bible. We have a God whose name tells us of his eternal power and majesty, and one who is always there for us today. And in Jesus, we have one who in grace and love came to save us and is still reaching out to offer salvation to the lost and the needy today. So as we go into a new year, whatever happens, let us praise God for who he is and what he does, for his everlasting presence, his protection, and all the blessings that he showers on us day by day. We often pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And let us also give thanks for Jesus who came to save. Despite all the uncertainty and the stress of daily living today, Jesus still lives up to his name. He is still there to save mankind. In Philippians 2, we read that God has given Jesus the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Thank you, Hamish. We're on page 254 of our service books, which means it's time for us to collect our offering and for me to prepare the table. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help?